Today on Discover the Word, the group is going to wrap up a 2-week, 10-conversation series on the subject of loneliness. So to begin today, Elisa Morgan wants to check on the rest of the group, Marty Hahn, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day, just to see how they're doing.
So after 9 days talking about loneliness, how are you feeling?
I'm glad we did it together.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like we need to throw this back at Elisa. You've been leading mm-hmm. 9 conversations mm-hmm. on loneliness. How do you feel?
I feel like I'm really happy we're on number 10.
Yeah, that is kind of a long time to talk about something as difficult and painful as loneliness is. But we've titled this series, You Are Not Alone. And so there's promise and optimism in that title, isn't there? That the scriptures give evidence of how God can provide for us in those times when we feel the ache of loneliness. So pull your chair up to the table with the group as we look at one more section of scripture that offers a perspective that can help us realize that in our loneliness, we are never really alone. And welcome to Discover the Word, the daily small group Bible study from Our Daily Bread Ministries. I'm glad you're here to conclude this series with us. And I hope that this has been a helpful series for you, because I think we have all felt that pain of alone, as Lisa has called it, and maybe are experiencing it right now. And remember, if there's any part of this study that you missed, all 10 conversations are on our discovertheword.org website. And if you know someone who is struggling right now, maybe you could think of a way to invite them to be part of these discussions as well. Link them to the You Are Not Alone series at discovertheword.org. Okay, so let's drop back in on how Elisa and Mart and Bill and Daniel are doing with this, as Mart mentions how for him, this second half of the series has kind of turned a corner for him.
I think we made a great turn this week. The hope is back.
Mm-hmm. Hope is back.
Yeah,
we spent 5 conversations on the pain of alone. And honestly, I think mm-hmm. it's one of the most painful emotions, really difficult.
And all the different ways you can feel alone.
Yeah.
Alone when you're by yourself, or alone in the midst of people.
Yeah.
Alone when you're an employee at the bottom of a company. Alone when you're the leader of a company. Mm-hmm. Alone in a family, and alone if you don't have a family.
Yeah.
Alone when you're sick and in pain, and alone when you're not.
Mm-hmm. And when you're the caretaker for the one.
The caretaker of the one, yeah.
It's easy to go in our corners and cocoon in our own loneliness and be stuck there. Why is loneliness so isolating?
Do you think loneliness is isolating, or is it the fact that we feel isolated that we feel lonely, mm-hmm. if that makes sense?
I think sometimes when we're in isolated situations, not of our own choosing, mm-hmm. we can automatically feel very lonely because we're not present with anyone else. But I think at other times, it's because we're not present with somebody else that we feel the other way. I think it kind of goes both directions.
And I think you're getting close to what I was feeling. There's a sense in which we are made for relationships. Mm-hmm. And when we're not enjoying that or sensing that, then we can just feel mm-hmm. detached mm-hmm. from our very being, our purpose.
I think Henry Cloud's the one who talked about how we can be lonely because we've swallowed the myth that we're supposed to do life alone, that that's more mature mm-hmm. than doing it in community. And so not needing people is like some kind of a badge of spiritual maturity. What's crazy about that?
Well, we looked even back at the beginning of the story in Genesis, where God creates a male human. And for the first time in the Bible, we see the words, something's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not good that he mm-hmm. should be alone. Mm-hmm. And then God turns around and makes a female human mm-hmm. and puts them together.
Mm-hmm. And that goes back to Mark's comment that we're made for community. We're even though we at times experience isolation, that's not God's intent or creative purpose for us.
Yeah, and in that conversation, we talked about how we're not necessarily seeing this as marriage is the only way that we experience that. Mm-hmm. Because in the New Testament, we see the church as being the community, the family of God. So the family gets redefined as all those who are walking together on this journey mm-hmm. to learning what it means to follow Jesus and to be drawn closer to God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As we explored the pain of alone, as painful as it was, we did see some handholds of hope starting to poke through last week when you're with relational loneliness, we remember we were made for community. And so we need to be admitting our need for that. And when we have vocational loneliness at work, we need to remember that two are better than one, and that there's a time and a season to use different giftings and to come under Jesus's yoke and his burden because it's easier and light. And when we're alone in physical loneliness, goodness, we look at the Psalms of David and the pain he went through where his body felt like it was melting away. And we look at the pain that Jesus experienced in the garden and on the cross, and we know that Jesus understands our loneliness. So there were some great takeaways in the first understanding the pain of alone, but this week we've been looking at how God reveals elements, real tangible elements of his being that come near to us. And just quickly, the first one is his presence. I will never leave you or forsake you.
We also talked about the fact that he himself not only provides for us, but he himself is our provision with his presence, right?
Yes, that presence becomes a provision of himself.
And somehow we have to embrace that silent, unseen presence and believe that it's real.
It's real. And he gives us more to hold on to in terms of a helper. He sends the Holy Spirit to be with us and guide us and teach us all things.
In fact, in almost every conversation this week, that phrase, I will be with you, has shown up. We have this God in the Old Testament, Father God, who shows up with Israel as a pillar of fire or a cloud. And so he's with them. Then we see Jesus show up in this story. And you have Jesus who's with them in a walk every day sort of way. And then we get to the Holy Spirit, as you just mentioned, Elisa. God is in us. He's so with us. And that's where we are today, is this God who's in us and with us in a very real and tangible way that sometimes we can't see, and that's difficult.
There's a mystery to it.
Yeah.
In that when Jesus says the Father is in him and he's in the Father and then the Spirit, I mean, they're all together.
Yeah.
They're together.
They're together.
As well.
Right, exactly.
They're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
They're united.
Whether it was in the Old Testament wilderness or today, somehow the mystery is their togetherness is really modeling in us, leading us forward.
Yeah.
And then you talked about the fact that God has given us this wonderful purpose of partnering with him in inviting people into relationship with Christ and with the Father and the Spirit through what Jesus did through the cross and resurrection. And even in that purpose, he promises he will be with us always.
There's been a theme from early church history, early church history on, this idea of what they called the divine dance to describe the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And it was these three persons of the Trinity in this divine dance together. And then we get to the Great Commission, as we talked about in our last conversation, where Jesus invites us into the divine dance to represent him and the full Trinity.
Yeah, and to share the giving
share
and receiving.
That. Yeah.
That's the dance part, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they all give, they all receive of one another.
Yeah.
We come to a crescendo today. You are not alone. I have given you my presence, my provision. I have given you a purpose. And today we come to one more revelation. God gives us a promise. And it's in Romans 8. And the promise is, nothing can separate you from my love. So even when you feel alone, loneliness that really has the feeling of being in part rather than whole and complete, okay? Even when you feel that way, nothing can separate you, can part you from my love. Paul's writing to the Romans, and in Romans 8, he has just finished several chapters arguing for the confidence that we who follow and love Jesus can have in the hereafter and for the judgment to come and etc. And in Romans 8, he gives a message that God is for us, that he's always working in us, and he's showering his love on us. It's beautiful. But let's read just this section of Romans 8:31-39, and listen, all we who are experiencing the pain of alone, listen for how God's promise speaks to that pain. Hmm. Bill, you want to start us?
Sure. Romans 8, verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?
Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us.
Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death?
Let's pause on those words. Those words are so individual and corporate. You can feel the tangible loneliness in these words. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?
Each one of those words is isolating.
Mm. Really, and each one has a very physical sense, but also a very emotional sense of the fear and desperation that you would feel in those moments.
Mm-hmm. Shall those things separate you from the love of God? Bill, you want to pick it up in verse 36?
As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us."
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
What a powerful promise. In the pain of alone, God says, "You will never be separated from my love for you." And who do we know is his love? It's Jesus. I mean, God is love, and he loved us so much that he made us his own children. You know, he called us into this relationship where he'll never forsake us or leave us or abandon us. Nothing can separate us from the promise of this love.
What an encouraging way to finish out this week and to finish what I hope for you has been an encouraging set of conversations. Thank you, Elisa, for leading us through this two-week series called You Are Not Alone. This is Discover the Word. You're at the table with Elisa Morgan, Marty Hahn, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day. And if you'd like to go back and listen to any of the conversations from this week or last, or maybe you'd like to invite a friend to listen, you can find this You Are Not Alone study online on our website at discovertheword.org. And also, a piece of advice, you might want to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcasting app and get Discover the Word delivered to your phone each day. Look for us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud. And thanks for remembering that Discover the Word is a listener-supported ministry. When you pray for this ministry and those who hear it, when you share these conversations with a friend, and when you contribute financially, you are partnering with us and helping people all around the world encounter the life-changing wisdom of the Bible. So you can give a one-time gift, or you can sign up to give a monthly gift as a Discover the Word partner when you go online to our website at discovertheword.org and click the Donate button. And also, by the way, don't forget to check your inbox on Monday for our weekly email. And if you haven't signed up for that really helpful resource, you can sign up to start receiving the study notes and video preview and all that's included in those emails for our upcoming series that will begin next week when you go online to our website at discovertheword.org. Well, you know, the Psalms are some of the most beloved passages of Scripture, and for good reason. But many don't realize that the book of Psalms is actually an anthology of poems and prayers and song lyrics written by several different authors. And it was collected over different time periods and different locations. And yet this collection of poems has a very specific theme and structure, and the overall anthology tells a story, a very important story, a surprising story. I'm Brian Hedinga, inviting you to join Mart, Elisa, Bill, and Daniel next week for a series on how to read the Psalms. That's Monday here on Discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.